Have you ever just had a really awkward interview? Have you heard an awkward interview and wonder what's going on there? That's what I want to talk about today. Though the main interview I want to talk about is a purposefully satirical awkward interview, and that's what makes it so funny. So I met a bunch of content creators last month at the Catholic Answers Conference. One of them is Seth from the channel Deutero Comical. Go and check it out. It's a really funny channel. He does AI, voices, impersonating Catholic figures. I really enjoy it. And he did a interview with me in the style of Between Two Ferns, like what Zach Galifianakis does, where you do an interview with a well-known person, but it's specifically really awkward in the way you shouldn't conduct an interview. And that's what makes it really funny. So he told me he wanted to do that. And I said, yeah, that would be fun. So I just knew that's what he wanted to do. I didn't know beforehand what he was really going to ask that much. And I just played along with it. And we got it done in one take. We got it in one take, no breaks, didn't break character, almost broke character, but we didn't break character. I do want to say, though, this interview reminded me of one time, the most awkward, true life awkward interview I have ever given. One that was awkward, someone asked me about one of my books, and it was a 2-hour interview about one of my books that basically almost went through the whole book. I was like, wow, we could have just read the whole book in this time period. No, the truly awkward one, I remember this very distinctly. I was in my car in the parking lot at a hospital in San Diego. So it was early during my time at Catholic Answers. And I think I had an appointment there, or Laura and I had a prenatal appointment, but I was by myself in the car. Maybe I was done with something. And sometimes I'll do interviews in the car if I'm on the go. And the gentleman called me. He was asking just about the March for Life. It was a Catholic show. And I thought, oh, it'll just be, you know, a typical easy interview, talk about the life, just fun, easy chat. And he was really belligerent. Like, he was arguing with me that these kids don't care about the march and it's just a vacation for them and it doesn't matter and the youth aren't really pro-life. And he was just like wanted to argue with me. And I thought, I didn't sign up for this. I thought this was supposed to be a friendly, nice interview. Well, I'm not going to do interviews for you anymore. So yeah, those are, a lot of interviews I do, they're really boring. Like, people don't even read my book. And they'll just ask me questions like, what was your favorite part of the book? Why did you want to write this book? Who do you think this book is for? And it's just like, okay. It's not as interesting. If you read the book, we could go back and forth on it. It would be neat. But yeah, the most awkward one, it was not that he was belligerent. I've been in belligerent situations before, but not one where I was expecting a pretty chill interview just about the March for Life with a Catholic pro-life radio host. That was easily the oddest one I've been in. This one is very odd too, but it's purposely odd, and that's what makes it funny. So here's my interview with Deutero Comical.
Welcome to a new segment on the channel called The Inquisition. I'm your host, Deutero Comical, and today we have Trent Horn. Trent, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Just want to say right off the bat, out of all the Catholic apologists on the scene today, you are definitely one of them.
Certainly am. I work very hard to be one of those apologists instead of one of the other ones who aren't.
Yeah, so apologist, speaker, author, debater. Which of these qualities do you admire the most about Jimmy Akin?
Probably bearded wonder. One day I want to get there, but at the rate my beard grows, it'll probably take about 1,000 years.
Well, that's fair. So would you consider yourself an apologist, a professional apologist?
Yeah, that's part of my job description. Yeah, I'm an apologist.
So what are you apologizing for? What exactly?
Well, apologetics isn't about actually apologizing. It comes from the Greek word apologia, which
okay,
means...
Okay, you don't need to like make up fancy words to impress me. Just tell me what it means.
No, it's a Greek word. It means to be ready to give a reason or a defense for something.
Oh, okay.
It's a real word.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of like the Pope's lawyer in a way?
More of an advocate for the faith, but sometimes for the Pope, yeah.
Okay. So you work for the church, essentially. I'm guessing that comes with perks?
No, Catholic Answers is an independent 501c3, so we just promote the Catholic faith. So we don't work for the church. We do own Catholic.com. I'm sure they'd like to get that.
But
from
do you still get discounts on indulgences when you purchase indulgences?
No, because there's no discount because there's no cost for an indulgence. You don't give money for indulgences, you know? Yeah.
Okay. But like off the record, do you get a discount on indulgences?
No. There's no discount because there's no money involved. Has been for 500 years.
Okay.
So
this is the 10th annual Catholic Answers Conference.
Yes.
How many more conferences do we need to do before you actually like answer all the questions? Like, why is it taking so long?
Well, we are moving at a steady pace, but there's always new questions from new people, I suppose. It's more not about answering all the questions, about equipping people to go out and have these important conversations.
Okay, fair enough. I was researching a bit your background. So you were born Jewish, but then you became Catholic as an adult. So are you trying to like one-up Jesus? Is that what you're going for?
Nope. I think I'm never going to one-up him in really anything. Half my family's Jewish and the other half are former Catholics. So I was raised pretty non-religious.
Gotcha.
So Jesus was raised in a very religious household. I wasn't. So he one-ups
gotcha.
Me there.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I also read that you enjoy the Byzantine liturgy. Do you still attend Byzantine liturgy?
From time to time, yeah.
But for the most part, you don't anymore, or do you?
For the most part, I do not. We now attend the Novus Ordo at the church where our children attend school.
So you finally, you kind of quit the LARP, the Byzantine LARP, like you're...
I wouldn't say that it was a LARP. I would say that it was a wonderful...
Character development.
It's a wonderful visit.
Okay.
You can visit places without saying you live there.
Yeah.
I think.
So you've written a lot of books. So Answering Atheism, Persuasive Pro-Life, Case for Catholicism. I actually have a few of your books on my nightstand. They get a lot of use. So I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm, having trouble falling asleep, I just pick one up. A couple pages in, I'm lights out. So really appreciate you writing those.
Yeah, people who sometimes struggle with reading comprehension, that can happen to them every now and then.
All right, I didn't know you're gonna. Okay. Speaking of your books, I've got your latest book here, Confusion in the Kingdom. How much did the GOP pay you to write this? Or was it
really,
Donald Trump? Did he directly pay to write this?
Really interested in who pays me. I like sharing the truth with people. I think that's its own reward.
Right. So this is exactly what you believe. No one's paying you for this.
Nope. Okay. I put what I believe in a book, and people will buy the book, and if it helps them, it helps them. Okay. So I think that's a good thing.
So can you like compare and contrast this book with some other books?
Well, it's shorter than other books. It's religious. Other books are non-religious. Yeah. I don't.
Like,
it's a bit of a broad question.
Like, compare it to like a classic like To Kill a Mockingbird or The Great Gatsby, like, or the Bible. I don't.
Well,
compare and contrast.
So, To Kill a Mockingbird is a fictional book, and this is a non-fictional book. That would be two big differences there. Mm-hmm. One is fiction about racial injustice in the American South and coming-of-age story, and that book was about bad liberal ideas in the church. So I guess both books talk about bad ideas, I guess.
So To Kill a Mockingbird is talking about racism. This probably talks about how racism doesn't exist, right?
No, it does say there is racism, but some people...
I haven't read it, obviously, so... Yeah.
That shows, yeah. No, it's talking about how some people in the church say things are racist or demand people take certain anti-racist positions that the church doesn't oblige.
Okay, gotcha. What would you say is harder to do, defending the latest statement from Pope Francis or defending your choice in a barber?
Well, my wife, Laura, actually cuts my hair.
Well, that explains it. Yeah.
Okay, what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Nothing.
You know what's the difference between my wife's videos and your videos? My wife's videos are funny.
Okay, that's uncalled for, but fine. If you don't like my questions, we can move on to some of my my fans submitted some questions.
Okay. You have fans?
A couple, yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So this one comes from Peter Diamond. He wants to know if your last name is in reference to devil horns. Is there any truth to that?
Nope. There. No. I'm sure I'm going to give an answer, and he will give a 2-hour interesting video reply to my answer.
That's fair. This next one comes from James White. He wants to know if you watched his debate with Jerry Mattatix in 1990.
No, I was busy playing Pogs in the 90s. I love the 90s, but I don't want to live there all the time.
But did you go back and watch it at any point?
No, there's other things from the 90s I'd rather watch, like the Power Rangers.
He seems to think that if you watch it, you'll become a Calvinist. So maybe you're just afraid to watch it because you know what will happen.
No, there's just many other things from the 90s I'd find more edifying than that very old James White debate, I guess.
Okay. This one comes from user Trad Groiper 911. Actually, I think I'll skip that one. I don't want to get demonetized. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So your wife, Laura, she quit YouTube. How has that affected your channel, if at all?
I don't think it's affected my channel. I think it's been really good for our family that I think she's put out great content. Now she focuses just on serving our family. And she had just a nice set of content out there that people are really blessed by.
Yeah. So in your dialogue with atheists, you often point out how holding the negative position still requires a burden of proof, right? Like you don't just get off.
Yes, that's right.
So keeping that in mind, like there's some rumors going around that you told Laura to shut down her channel, like you forced her to do that. How do you prove that that didn't happen?
Well, I think you could just ask Laura herself. That would probably be the best evidence there. And she would say that was firmly her decision. I support whatever she wanted to do with that.
Could we ask her, like, you want to just call her right now and settle it on the air?
No, I don't think we, I don't think we have to do that.
Yeah, because there's also some people saying Tim Gordon really rubbed off on you and you decided to, like, she needs your permission to have a channel and that's why.
Laura is free to do her channel and I do mine by myself as a gentleman defending the faith. And I think we covered enough ground. Maybe we should just wrap up.
Yeah,
you know? We're good.
Well, folks, that's the end of this segment. Thank you for watching and we'll see you next time. Hey, so I actually forgot to reserve my hotel room. Do you have an extra bed in your, or how big is the bed in your room? Is it like a queen, a king?
Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to check out his channel on YouTube, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.